nuclear power, a vision in the 20th century, a challenge in the 21st century. I welcome Henry Sokolsky, the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center, who, along with many colleagues, have signed a letter from the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy to the President of the United States about the ambition of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia to acquire a nuclear power plant and what that means in the Middle East. The letter begins, "As a bipartisan group of Middle East regional and nuclear nonproliferation experts, many of whom have served in both Democratic and Republican administrations, we urge you, Mr. President, to reject the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia's request for uranium enrichment as part of or separate from a normalization agreement between Saudi Arabia and Israel." I end there to turn to Henry Sokolsky to explain the basis for this request for the president to reject. Henry, the news is that Israel and Saudi Arabia are in conversation about an accord which would be momentous and historical. How does this request of the president fit to that ongoing conversation? Good evening to you.
Good evening. It's a critical piece. The Biden administration has decided, at least amongst its key advisors, Mr. Sullivan, who's the national security advisor, and Mr. McGurk, who advises him, and I guess Mr. Blinken, that it would be terrific if somehow the Trump administration's efforts to get the Middle Eastern nations around Israel to recognize Israel was pushed to the most important participant who never played, and that's Saudi Arabia. They did not recognize and have not recognized Israel yet. That would be a feather in their cap, I guess. And so how to make it happen? Well, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia has reservations. He won't move forward, he says, unless roughly three things come his way. One is better treatment by Israel of the Palestinians in Israel. Two, nuclear energy cooperation for making electricity, which must include a process called uranium enrichment, which is coeval with making nuclear weapons. The case of Iran comes to mind. That's what they're doing. He wants to follow in Iran's footsteps with his peaceful program that would give him, to be blunt, a nuclear weapons option. And then finally, he wants the United States to treat Saudi Arabia the way it treats Japan and South Korea with a formal mutual security pact. So all of these three things is what he wants. How many of these things we can supply without undermining our own interests is unclear.
The letter concludes, "Any nuclear cooperation agreement with Saudi Arabia must meet the highest non-proliferation standards, including the commitment made by the United Arab Emirates in 2009 to forgo enrichment and reprocessing technologies, also known as the gold standard of non-proliferation, and enhanced inspection and transparency measures through a strong additional protocol with the International Atomic Energy Agency." I believe this is a very careful way of saying inspection. Is that correct, Henry?
Yes, it's also saying abstinence from making nuclear fuels with plutonium and enriched uranium, that they have to just forswear that as a matter of law in Saudi Arabia. This is what the UAE has done. This is what Taiwan has done. This is what we should ask Saudi Arabia to do. He will not do that, is my hunch. I mean, my organization, you know, worked with FDD on this letter precisely to see what the market would bear amongst the expert community on the left and right. We had a pretty easy time getting a lot of people to sign this because it was a pretty modest ask in the minds of people who care about national security. But people who don't, you know, they have all sorts of reservations and prevarications. But the list of people on there is kind of impressive.
We have discussed before, and I bring up again, the possibility that Saudi Arabia, if not satisfied with its intentions toward the United States and Israel, will turn to China to build a nuclear power plant. That was understood at the time to be leverage. Is that now a realistic possibility if MBS is not satisfied?
Well, it could be. I mean, he's extorting us. This is like a small child saying, if you don't give me what I want, I'm going to throw a brick at your window. I'm not sure how much of a strategic partner he can be if he keeps insisting on this threat. I mean, he wants a security agreement where we will, you know, use our nuclear weapons and military forces to protect the kingdom. But if we don't do everything else he wants, he's going to go to China. Okay, that's a problem. I think that the second thing that comes to mind is, last I checked, the United States still is the wealthiest nation in the world. He obviously wants to be bribed. Now, I don't know how sound all this is, but if you're going to do a bribe, why give him a bomb option? Surely there are other things we can do to get his attention besides this. So, I don't know. There's something a little squirrely about this, to say the least.
At the same time, Saudi Arabia is a master of the fossil fuel business, especially to our European allies. Fossil fuel and natural gas, all of that is part of Saudi Arabia's resources. The president of the United States, in fact, the leaders of NATO and of the European Union, are cognizant of the fact that energy is now a challenge to recover from the pandemic and to go forward with a population that is prosperous. That is more than accidental that we're hearing this request for nuclear power from a man who recently, it was in the news, in cooperation with the Kremlin, to cut back production in order to reach $100 or more for Brent crude oil. Is that a consideration about forcing this issue with nuclear power?
Well, it's difficult to understand what Mr. Biden's going to get out of this. Mr. Netanyahu is willing to go with any kind of nuclear deal now, contrary to all his protestations about uranium enrichment in Iran, and for that matter, privately saying he didn't want Saudi Arabia to get enriched. But he'll do it because the alternative is supporting Palestinian participation in Israeli democracy at a level that he doesn't have political support for. That's even worse for him. But what Biden gets out of it isn't clear. I mean, you can see what MBS is trying to do. He's extorting for all sorts of things. There are some, rumblings on the Hill, which I've picked up from members, that, you know, perhaps what Biden's doing or thinking about is getting a 6-month reduction in the price of oil from Saudi Arabia by getting a production increase, let's say starting in May, so it would help his election. Now, that is an incredibly cynical view. I don't have evidence to support it, but it might be the case. We just don't know. One thing's for certain, though. The Israelis who object to this, they're mostly Ashkenazi, sort of the left, have come out strongly against this idea of a nuclear deal involving enrichment with Saudi Arabia. They say Biden is struggling between promoting Palestinian rights in Israel or cutting this uranium enrichment green light deal with Saudi Arabia. My hunch is Biden will have to decide between the two, and if he decides anything other than uranium enrichment, it could be this deal won't go forward very far.
Henry Sikorski is an executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. The letter from the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy closes We are confident you share our goal, Mr. President, of preventing the spread of atomic weapons and the means to acquire them, and urge you to uphold longstanding U.S. nonproliferation policy. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,